been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation, to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Can you guys say playoffs? I don't know if it was just me, if you guys too, but I didn't think we were going to be saying that at all halfway through this game. But my buddy Josh, you know, he was there live. He's on the phone with me right now. Josh, what's going on, man?
Brandon, I got my voice back, my friend.
That's a good thing. I know Sunday had to be an up and down kind of game. But before we get into any of that, I just want to go over this real quick. You actually got to meet Terrell Suggs at an autograph signing since the last time we've spoken. And you said that you got a gladiator mask that he wore out up against the Steelers. You bought one of those and you were going to have him sign it. What was his reaction to it?
His reaction was great. I got photos. I always have posted on Facebook. His reaction was, I'll exactly explain to you. He was like, I got one of those. And we all started laughing. And everybody was like, that's sick. That's awesome. One of a kind. And obviously, it was the first of its. I have the original Gladiator full-size replica helmet that he signed, so I have the original. I'm proud of that moment. But he loved it. He joked around, and he by chance asked me, he goes, how much did you pay for yours? And I said, around 100. And he turned to us, I guess, with his entourage, his, you know, he has the T-Sizzle entourage. And he goes, how much did we pay for ours, man? And the guy goes, about 100. Same thing. I said, me and Sizzle shopping at the same place, right? And he started chuckling, laughing. And he signed it. He loved it. He said, it's cool, man. So I said, did you keep yours? This is his quote. He's like, hell yes. That's what he said, man. So, going to Terrell Suggs again. Love it. Love the guy. He was great. He was very, obviously, with the playoff bound Ravens. He was very jovial, very upbeat. Obviously, if he'd have lost, it would have been a somber experience. But he was high-fiving kids. He was laughing and carrying on as usual. And then I asked him, I said, hey, how about busting out for the Pittsburgh game again? And he goes, in Pittsburgh? Nah, they wouldn't let me do that in Pittsburgh. That's what he was saying. So, But Suggs, shout out to Suggs. It was great. It was a festive time. It was sold out. I mean, I had people coming up to me in line taking pictures of the mask. They were like, where'd you get that? And it was a great piece, and I was really glad to get it done.
Very cool, man. So, yeah, let's go back to this past Sunday. The Ravens, it was win or go home. No postseason if they lost this game. Need a little help from the Kansas City Chiefs. But here it is, the last game of the season, down to the wire. I don't know about you, but halfway through this game, I was like, all right, there it goes. No postseason. These guys don't know what's going on. They weren't prepared for this team. What was it like being there? Were you guys kind of feeling the exact same thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen this. I think they did it because of the last game of the year, and I think, and I'm going to send some message to the Ravens, but I think they should do this, but they put the decibel meter up on the screen. So first half, it was like, it was quiet. I mean, it reached 119, 120. I mean, it was all right. I mean, but it wasn't really, it was tough to get into. I mean, the defense, we got into a little bit, but with the offense out there, it was, you know, obviously you heard the boos, and it was just, they were sputtering. We couldn't get it done again. First move going on the one, it can't get in. I like the move of going for that fourth down, but I don't really like it in that situation because the offense failed three times. It's not like we were handy. Doug's going to take the points there. I've always said time and time again, yes, we're in the playoffs. We might not be an elite team, obviously, with a 60, but with that being said, elite football teams, especially contenders and champions, it puts that in the end zone. Patriots do it. Broncos would do it. Steelers probably would do it. So it's just, you got to punch it in there. I was very upset with the execution. The offense just show up again. But what I did here is, you're right, Flacco, and I wish we can get hands on this video, and I probably won't, but Flacco basically just let it rip, and even Corey Smith was saying it was a definitive speech, and I would really love to know what's said, but all of a sudden it was just like, Two pass and Thurman Smith were in the end zone. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And that place erupted. And along with the anticipation of looking at the Chiefs scoreboard and watching that closely, and a lot of fans talking about it, following it on the phones, you know, what the Chiefs were doing, what they were doing. I mean, I saw in the Chiefs game that they stopped a couple of fourth down plays against the Chargers, and they helped us out. Then when we were down, when they left the guy wide open and we were down 10-3, I'm like, are you kidding me? We're going to lose two out of the last three at home. The Chiefs are going to win, and we're going to squander, and we're going to sit here all season, stick our stomachs going, really, we just watched this again? You know, two of the last three home games, you know, I watched the Chargers come back and win, and then we're going to squander this. And then all of a sudden, the defense let loose. They were after this rookie quarterback. He had no answer. And in the fourth quarter, when we went up, that place went from 120 to 130, 140 decibels easy. And with Harbaugh from the screen, Jerry Crowd up, Suggs was up. The place was rocking. I'm getting goosebumps now talking about it. Everybody was standing up, Brandon. It was the whole fourth quarter. We were to our feet. And I'm going to read you this. This is John Harbaugh quoted about the fan experience, and I just get it choked up about this, man. This is John Harbaugh, and I quote, the fourth quarter with the crowd, I just think that was something that was really a memorable, awesome experience for all of us in Ravens Nation. That fourth quarter, the way our guys played, and the way the crowd get behind us, and the energy between the crowd and the team was just really a powerful thing and something I'm going to remember forever. I want to compliment our fans on that and thank them and just relive that for a second. To me, being there, that means a lot. To anybody that was part of the 71,000 strong M&T Bank Stadium to close out the season, that's what it's all about. That's why we go to the games. We get involved. You know what, Seattle? I wish we could be as infamous as Seattle Swamp Man. Everybody hates going to Seattle, Brandon. Why? Because of the 12th man. It's hard to play against that crowd. All I hear about is the Seahawks at home field. Well, they might get right to the Super Bowl again because playing against that 12 man is very, very, very tough, and we've built some of the best home records in the last 4 or 5 years at home. So did the Seattle Seahawks, so did the New England Patriots at home, especially in the postseason and in the regular season. So, with that being said, Brandon, I don't know, could you hear it on TV in the fourth quarter? Because my dad said it was kind of relatively quiet, and you really couldn't hear it much. But I mean, that's because it was just antagonizing, anticipating what can happen.
Yeah, the crazy thing was how different the crowd was throughout the entire game, because you really could hear those boos when plays were not working and the crowd was upset. You could tell. You could definitely tell that the Baltimore crowd was giving it to the Ravens, saying, "What are you doing? I can't believe."
Did you hear that Joe Flacco address that? Did you hear about that?
Did he address that in halftime as well?
Yeah, well, he addressed it in the postgame.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have the quotes in front of me. I saved that horrible one, but basically, Flacco was asked about it, and he basically said, I don't blame them. Because he goes, they want us to do well, and I'm paraphrasing here, Flacco. He says, they as fans, speaking to the fans, want us to do well. Yeah, we're cheering one, so obviously, it's almost like this. You know, your parents and your kids, and you're disappointed in them. Of course, that's our way of showing displeasure and disappointment, like, you guys can do better. You know, they can't hear us vocally, obviously, and can't hear what we say, whether it explodes or not. But, you know, as soon as they can hear that, and that's our way of expressing displeasure, like, okay, you guys are sucking, you guys aren't executing, and they hear that, and they respond, I think, with that, and with 5-3, he goes, that's it. You know, are we going to give these guys a show or what? They just came out, and they were saying, that's it. And I was more than happy, pleased with what was going on.
Yeah, it was really the first Torrey Smith catch, you know, the one that kind of turned the game around. That's where you could really tell a difference in this crowd. It was definite
shots, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it was what the Baltimore crowd needed. It's what they wanted. And from what I understand, they were also scoreboard watching. So as they saw the Chiefs doing better, and then the Ravens getting this catch, and then finally getting a touchdown, the crowd turned because they realized, I think at that point, they actually had a chance of making the playoffs.
And they kept showing the scoreboard, and even the guy next to me says, they're showing it right in front of your face, and you're not motivated enough. If that don't motivate you, then what? You know, we were like, and that's what was making us really, really angry. It was like, they're showing the scoreboard. The Chiefs are doing their part. All we need is help, and we got it. Now, here, all we got to do is win this stinking game, and we're in. And it was just like, it was so frustrating. And then all of a sudden, it was just, I mean, obviously, we scored 17-9 at the point to win the game. It was 10-3, and then that's all she wrote. They let us score, and that was it. And you got to credit our defense. And, you know, in breaking down the game, obviously, the running games, mediocre right now, depth with the line. And Flacco wasn't really under duress, but the times he was under duress, he was hurting his throat. And Steve Smith dropped a couple of passes, and I mean, he got to catch his balls, but I spent time with somebody again. Where is Marlon Brown at Aiken? Marlon Brown is an ACC receiver at the University of Georgia. I mean, look at Odell Beckham, a rookie out of LSU. He's turning up for the New York Giants this year. Marlon Brown needs to get the ball. Aiken, they're hungry. You know, Jacoby Jones in a receiver. Steve Smith, I don't know what's up with him, but, he got a couple nice catches in the second half, but dropping that crucial first down catch and working on Daniels and the tight ends in there, man, I'm very impressed with what they had to bring in Crockett and Supernaw. And how about this? I saw this in the game. I don't know if you've seen on TV the angles. The angles sitting at you can see the field and the stadium. But there's a couple of times, especially on that touchdown drive, and I know Joe Flacco completed that pass to Steve Smith on the sideline, but there was two or three times where Joe Flacco could have ran for the first down, and he was looking to make a play, and I think that was on his shoulders. He was trying to say, hey, look, I want to make a play for my team. Instead of running for the first down, he had to throw it. He was trying to throw it down the field to make a play. So I understand that, but that could be trouble with a pick or trouble with a complete pass. I mean, if it's right in front of you, it's right in front of you, but I guess it's really hard because the game is fast. We're not an NFL quarterback, so we don't know what it's like down there.
Yeah, Joe, at certain points of the game, it depends, like what kind of mood he's in. He can throw the long ball, no problem, but it's got to be the receiver catching it. There's been many, many times he's thrown that long ball, and there's either nobody there, he's overthrown it, or it would end up in an interception, and then you kind of see him play it safe and do all these short, really short passes. That's why him and Pitta got along so well. But he really did show like why he is a playoff type of quarterback. He can kind of do whatever he needs to do to get it done, but he's really got to depend on the offensive line there. They got to give him time, but the receivers also have to make plays. Steve Smith, I think this guy is a tremendous talent. I don't care how old he is. He does have a chip on his shoulder. He fits into Baltimore, but the dude has got to catch. He's got to do his job. He's a great part of this team. I love his attitude. I love what he brings to the table. But when Flacco throws to him, I do get a little bit worried because there's a very good chance he's going to drop it. He has had a history of doing that this season. I don't know what the problem really is, if he's just not expecting it from Flacco, like maybe Flacco's throwing it too hard. I don't know. But for Steve Smith, for us to go far in these playoffs, I feel as if Steve Smith really has to up his game because he might not be used to going this far, having this much pressure on him when he was in Carolina. But this is when it really matters here. He's got to bring his A++++ game to help these Ravens get farther and farther into these playoffs.
Everybody's not set up. I mean, right now we're in the dance. How about that? 6 out of 7 years, playoffs, baby, man. When we see the deal, man, we were hugging, we were chanting down the stairs. It was great to leave M&T Bank Stadium season finale till September at the bank. Great, and going to the playoff, man. 6 out of the last 7 years. It would have been 7 out of 7 if we'd have won the last game of the season last year. How about this? Joe Flacco becomes the first. And only quarter and the first quarterback in NFL history to start a playoff game in 6 out of his first 7 years in the league. That went unprecedented stat. Obviously, another 10-6 record. 10 win season. Other than the 9-7 year, and then we went to playoffs in the 8-8 year. We've at least had 10 wins the last 5 out of 7. So that's unprecedented. This franchise is world class, man. And a lot of people are like, you know, and we'll cover, obviously, we'll get to Pittsburgh in a second, but win or lose this weekend. And everybody's like, well, if we get blown out, because we've been through 6 touchdowns against us, so you'll be disappointed again. That was weeks ago. It's a brand new season, brand new team. We're 2 different places right now with concerns in health and personnel wise. But so I said, hey, if we got to watch a blow and we get blown out 40-10, you know what? That sucks, but it's okay because you know why? Because the Chargers can be in the playoffs. The Chiefs can be in the playoffs. Everybody says we shouldn't be here. We're playing with house money right now. So I look at this, but somebody stake this in the poker game, and we're going all in right now. And even Rodney Harrison on Sunday Night Football, he said in a roundabout way, and he said, nobody wants to play off, man. He goes, it sets up for us. We have a divisional game first round in the playoffs. We go to New England if we win. New England does not want to see us. They know that. With the history there and the personnel we have an MVP court. I mean, Brandon, it sets up for us. I just got to say, it's Festivus Maximus 2014 once again, my friend. Oh, my God. Can't wait.
This is gonna be a fun week coming up. You know,
not only that, but fun week, but guess what it is? Steeler hate week number three, man.
This is why this rivalry is so good for the NFL, so good for these two towns, because they meet so often and there's usually so much riding on these games. That's why there's always a giant spotlight. That's why it's always in prime time with the NFL, always wanting to showcase these two teams. This, I think, is definitely going to be, if not the show stealer of just the first week of the playoffs, but maybe the entire, you know, postseason of what the Ravens and Steelers are going to do. The Baltimore Ravens team, you know, let's just jump right into it. This is a team that is being held together with duct tape. You know, it's a team that is not, a lot of people didn't expect us to be where we're at. It's a team that had a lot of injuries. I mean, we talked about it before. There's 18 guys on injury reserve for the whole AFC North. The other three teams have a total of all of them combined. So this team has been able to overcome a lot. It's been able to, you know, have a guy like Justin Forsett come in unexpectedly and just play, you know, his butt off, look really good throughout the season. But here we go. The Ravens in Pittsburgh for the first week in the playoffs. The Ravens have never beaten the Steelers in the postseason. So not only do they have the job of, you know, wanting to go far in the postseason and then go to the Super Bowl, but they also have that in their own little personal rivalry. So I know that's got to be in Suggs's mind. That's got to be in Flacco's mind. It's got to be in Harbaugh's mind. But let's talk about it. What is going to be the key here? What are these guys going to have to do to shut down Big Ben, to make sure they protect Flacco, to take this Pittsburgh team out? What do they have to do to make sure the Steelers do not advance any farther?
They have to contain Big Ben. I mean, especially Sunday night when I watched the game and noticed, Big Ben always does this. We hate it. Hate it very much, but he makes some plays when he moves out of pocket and points down the field and he hits Keith Miller or Antonio Brown for a big gain, and we're like, really? And it happened time and again. And one big play that Keith Miller was called back for a holding call, if I can recall that. But being said, Big Ben, we see the time of him, and living out and broke his nose, and he still came in the game and just making plays. I mean, the dude's tough as nails. You love to hate him. You hate to, it's just, I mean, I've always said, yeah, it's respecting. He should do something else. But when you're playing against him, it's just like, I hate that guy. But, you know, with that being said, Suggs, Suggs has over 100 sacks in his career, and he sacked Big Ben the most. That's why he's top of the list. That's why Big Ben belongs to Suggs, per se. But the saying goes, and we need to get Doomerville and Big Ben involved. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take the pass rush to get there. I mean, you sacked Blake Bortles, a rookie quarterback, 8 times. The pass rush was there against the Browns. It wasn't there against Houston for any reasons unknown, but they got to win in the trenches, man. Run blocking on the offensive line for us and getting back to Big Ben and really getting into his face. And even if we want to advance further, not only the wild card round, but if we want to go to the division round and beat New England, we want to go to the conference championship or even the Super Bowl 49 in Arizona, it's going to take pass rushing, and that equates it. I mean, we've seen it in divisional playoffs in 2012 when we beat Peyton Manning. We got him and rushed the throws. We got him to move out of pocket. And that was one of the crucial plays. You recall that the one interception was the crucial that sets up the game-winning field goal in double overtime, I should say, is when Peyton Manning scrambled to his right and tried to throw across his body to Brandon Stokely, and it got picked off. You have to get these guys scrambling. When you get these quarterbacks off for, you know, the rhythm, that's what it's about. And you've seen what happens when Flacco's off his rhythm. He can't complete nothing. He can't throw it, and it was just atrocious. It throws everything off. Your offense looks anemic at best, and the running game sucks. And speaking of the running game, have had a huge, huge advantage for us. I obviously hate to say somebody go down, but how about Le'Veon Bell with the hyperextension knee? And they're saying he's okay. And you really know that. It could be media hearsay, and they're trying to play their cards close to the chest, but they signed Ben Tate today, they being the Steelers, and that is a huge, huge advantage for us right now. And we get Haloti Ngata back. Welcome back, Haloti Ngata, and he was apologetic in his press conference today, saying that he owes the guy something, he feels that way. And how about we get Haloti Ngata back on the run defense? And speaking of that, we got Ben Tate going against, and I think Bell might be out there for a decoy, but right now, I think the matchup is the keys. Get to Big Ben, stop the running game again, and make Big Ben throw it. And our biggest key is going to be stopping Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's going to be a force. The guy's a stud. We cannot leave him wide open like we did some of the Browns receivers. So the key to watch is the secondary, how we respond.
The big thing for me, I want to say the defense, like you brought up, I completely agree with you. You got to get to Big Ben and make him do it, but I want them to be able to get to Big Ben, and I don't want him to throw it, because this dude, he has such an accurate arm, and he does so well under pressure. I mean, if I'm him, you got to be freaking out, because you do have Suggs, you do have Dumervil, you do have Nada, you do have a guy like Mosley who can make plays, but again, our secondary throughout this entire season, and even in the postseason now, is very questionable. I mean, Lardarius Webb got his first interception this week for the entire season. Yeah, great play, but it was his first time of the season.
Too, if you noticed that, Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely. So these guys are you know, not as well-trained as you would hope, but you do have, you know, guys like Pernell McPhee coming out and making plays. So for me, it feels like you got to shut down Big Ben completely. You need to get him backing up. You need to get him moving around. You got to get him, like, if he's got the football, you got to make him run, because at that point, you know, he's getting, like, thrown off his game a little bit. But getting to Big Ben, getting him, making him make a play as quickly as possible, leads him to making mistakes. It leads him to getting on the ground. It leads him to not, you know, using that really great Big Ben arm that he has, because, you know, that's why this rivalry is so good. Big Ben is a huge threat, and he is somebody that does equal up well against a guy like Terrell Suggs. They don't like each other, and you can definitely tell. That's why watching these games is so much fun. You can feel the tension going in there, but both dudes are super talented. But to get Big Ben off his game, you got to push him down. You got to make sure that he doesn't have time. And if he's throwing the ball, the secondary, I don't know how many guys you can have on the secondary, but I feel like you got to just blanket that field and get everybody covered, because Big Ben, he can make plays.
Right, I mean, both teams are super talented indeed, and I remember putting a poll question to you, which team we want to face, and you said Cincy. I kind of agreed because of the way they were playing, and they weren't really lighting the world on fire as they were, but, you know, I kind of like this, because I wanted Cincy for a reason, because we haven't really beat them this year, and I wanted to get that win against them. But here's the thing. This sets up for a great winner take all. We beat them in our house by 20 points. They beat us in their house by 20 points. Okay, now here it is. Here's the final round three. Ravens-Steelers 3 for the 2-1 record this year and again. And I know the last time we played the Steelers in the playoffs in 2000, well, the first time is in 2008 when they swept us, and then they swept us all three times, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. That's what it's about. It's about that rivalry. What better way to start the first primetime playoff game Saturday night? Primetime Steelers Ravens, the best rivalry in football. I love it. If you want to, and here's the thing. Obviously, we know at least our first two opponents, Steelers and Patriots. So obviously, we have to go to the number one seed in New England. So hey, we can get to. It's going to be a road. I mean, we beat Andrew Luck at home. We had to beat Peyton Manning on the road. We had to beat Tom Brady on the road to get to Super Bowl 47 and win 47. So rightfully so. Really can't wait to get after it. The playoff setup's so great. I mean, the NFC stacked, the Seahawks, again, Super Bowl defending champs out there. Hopefully they'll manage throughout the playoffs in the NFC. It's going to be great. But I do have to drop a big surprise, and I'm very stoked about this. But yours truly, the one and only, will be trekking to Pittsburgh on Saturday. I will be there live, my friend. I freaking can't wait.
Oh, you be careful, man. That Pittsburgh crowd can be a little crazy.
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. I'm doing it the safe way. We're actually taking a bus full of 30 Ravens fans. We got the two top rows in the stadium, so you know, we're doing it the safe way. No one's going to be throwing stuff down on us. You know, I'm taking a local trip. We're taking a motor coach bus. So yeah, we were blessed enough to get an opportunity to do that, and I was blessed enough to get the chance to go with things going on. And I'm taking a couple of friends with me, so I really can't wait to see how it all pans out, my friend. And I really was, because I did a poll, man. Speaking of Pittsburgh, and you even brought that up about how to be careful and all that, and I thought about going and just drive myself, but I'm like, I don't want my car vandalized, and that was kind of a good point. I got to bring a new car. I don't want anyone to mess with it. You know, some steel thing is stupid and throw a beer bottle on the streets, or if they know I'm a Ravens fan, they see me in the car. You never know what people are capable of these days. So, and I figured, it's best to go in a big contingent of our own fans and be sitting around them versus buying two or three seats by ourselves. And who knows, we might be in a sea of yellow and gold and be here by ourselves, and I would hate that.
Yeah.
But I'm not holding back, man. I'll be in war paint, red contacts, 52 helmet, ready to do war. I'm not afraid of anybody, and I look at it this way. You've seen the movie 300, right?
Of course, yeah.
Well, of course, who hasn't? And the second one's even better. But on the first one, I watched it the other day. I'm probably going to watch it this week to get ready. Probably both of them, because I love them. But in the first one, in the, if obviously no one's ever seen it, highly recommend it. Who hasn't at this point? But in the movie, they made a reference, "Into Hell's Gates We March." Into Hell's Mouth We March. And that's what I feel like. I feel like that we're rallying the troops, we're gassing up the buses, and we're going into Hell's Gate. We're going in, into Hell's Mouth, per se, and we're going to enemy territory. You know what? We're not scared. And if we come away with a win, it's going to be all party all weekend long. And if we lose, hey, we made the dance and we were one and done for the first time since 2006. That would suck, but I love to win one. What better way to get it than the Steelers? But I really can't wait. I've heard stories of traveling in a pack of flocks of Ravens fans. I think it'll be a lot safer, Brandon, but you're right. The stories I've been hearing, everybody's like, oh, I wouldn't be plugged in that stadium. I'd end up in prison and get into a fight. But I mean, I looked at it this way. If you don't throw up the pot, you're not going to get trouble. I say, my team's going to do talking for us. So when my team wins, and that obviously I wouldn't gloat, but that'll be the last laugh, man. You guys can enjoy the offseason because the Ravens will be moving on. But, you know, I thought about this, and I really can't wait to be there, man. I'm pumped. I'm stoked. It's going to be a heck of a weekend, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait for the game to start. Let's talk about the offense right now. You know, I've said it all season. I've had a problem with the way that Gary Kubiak doesn't really like to switch things up. Many times, you know, I saw him giving the ball to Justin Forsett, running to a big pile of dudes, go like, oh, well, let's just try that again. Justin Forsett again. Oh, let's try Bernard Pierce a time. And then we'll end up with Justin Forsett again. So, Let me ask you here. What do we have to do on offense to make sure that that they're able to get points and you know, run around this defense? Are we going to see a lot of Justin Forsett? Do you think we'll see more Bernard Pierce, or do you see this being more of a passing game?
Well, that's a very good question, and I don't know. I would love to. I mean, obviously, none of us knows, but I would love to know what our running scheme is, because I'm not sure what Pierce brings. I mean, other than two big runs, Forsett had a quiet day. I mean, the two big runs he had pretty much helped the Steelers deal, and they were good first down runs that chew up some clock and crucial runs at that point and juncture of the game. But Pierce has never been that guy to knock people over and penetrate. Pierce reminds me of a little bigger Ray Rice, where he's a finesse back, he gets in the space, he runs. Forsett's kind of a mixture of the both. Forsett can get in there, mix it up, but then Forsett in space, he's a monster. He gets out in space and he's gone. I think they do that as a way to spell them both, because obviously if you run Forsett every play, every down, every run down, you're going to time out. I mean, these guys aren't machines. But I don't know if they changed up the running schemes for both of them. I don't know if they just blocked normally. I don't know what's in there. I would love to dive into film and watch that and see how it works out. But these guys aren't getting penetration. They're getting beat the line. I don't know if it's because Rick Wagner's out for the year and it's a patchwork line at best. I know Marciano's been vocal and saying some things that, you know, they're not happy with it, but they're trying to work the best we can. But hey, we're a 6-8 playoff team. We made it with this line. I mean, hey, we won the Super Bowl, I know, holding on defense in 2000 when we won Super Bowl 35, and our line was mediocre at best with Trent Dilfer at the helm. But we'll see what happens, man. I mean, it's going to be one of those key matchups to watch, because obviously the run sets up the pass, and if we go really pass heavy, we're going to lose this game big time. And I can tell you right now, Flacco's got to throw it 40 to 45 times or plus. It's going to be a long night for us, and I think we need to be balanced. We need to be run first, and we need to be physical. And both run defenses are top notch. Obviously, we have the streak. It's been upheld. So I mean, we know how to run defenses. We get Nada back, which is a key factor, because we lost Timmy Jernigan. That's a huge loss for us, but we do get Nada back, the old pro. So one of the great rookies is out, but again, Nada stepped up, and I heard he's back and ready, and he's fresh. He's been in shape, and Harbaugh's been impressed with that, and really can't wait to see 92 back on the field, and hopefully he's prepared. He knows what's at stake, and I really can't wait to get him back, and it's going to feed off our energy. We get him back, welcome back, Lodi Nada, and that's what it's going to be, man. It's going to be one and done in the trenches, man.
All right, so to kind of end the show here, wrap it up a little bit, I think I know the answer, but I still got to ask you, what is your prediction for this game? Who's going to win, and what do you think the score is going to be?
Who's going to win? Being in this playoffs, this could go either way. Ravens-Steelers, they're evenly matched. It is at Pittsburgh. But I am in this playoff time, and here we go. I'm going to put all the chips in. I am going to side with our hometown Ravens this one. Obviously, I can't pick Pittsburgh. Everybody would kill me. But I mean, you got to be a realist. I mean, Pittsburgh does have what it takes to beat us. Antonio Brown's going to be a matchup nightmare. I already covered that, but I think it's going to be a close one. I see Ravens by a score of 23-20. Might not be that close. It might even be low scoring in the teens, because I think this one's going to be a old-fashioned Saturday night brawl. It's going to be a low score, but I'm going to say a 23-20 Ravens score. And moving on to the division round, that is my prediction, sir.
All right, since it is the playoffs as well, you know, I do have to go with the Ravens. What I am hoping is the Steelers that we saw in week two, I'm hoping that that's the team that shows up again. I'm hoping that they are that much outmatched by the Ravens, given the fact that there have been way more injuries this time around meeting them. So I'm hoping it goes more like week two and not, you know, the, whatever week it was later on in the season that the Ravens and Steelers went up against each other. So I want to see a Ravens win, and you're saying 23-20. I'm saying it might be something more like let's think, like maybe 17-14, something like that, something real low scoring that we're not going to see a lot of touchdowns. We're going to see a lot of Justin Tucker out there, but hey, you better dress warmly though, man, and hopefully this doesn't affect Justin too bad. They're calling for like some wintry mix up in Pittsburgh for that day. Maybe a little bit of snow, the best kind of football you can watch in the snow. We've been through it before, so you know, hopefully that doesn't affect them too bad. But here we go, man. Week three of Steelers Hate Week, as you like to call it. Ravens Steelers once again in the postseason. I want to see the Ravens win just so they can stop saying you guys have never beaten us in the postseason. That's what I really want to see. I want to see, you know, Flacco finally get over that hump and beat the Steelers in the postseason. So hopefully we'll see that. But I think we're pretty good for the show, man. Did we miss anything?
You know what, Brandon? It's playoff time. I think we got it all covered. We're going to lay it out on the field, and Nod is back, and welcome back to Loading Nada. But I am going to say with this one, with full certainty, we locked it up and saying, not a chance, sir, man, not a chance.
All right, that's real cool. You know, we're gonna wrap the show up, but before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Ravens fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, if you want to get ready for the Winter Classic this year, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Myself and Coach Dan Hayden, we discuss the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays weekly, going over games, stats, and more. So check it out, The Call and What the Puck, both available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. All right, everybody, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you know, the call isn't where it ends. You guys can tweet to us whenever you feel like it. Follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at the old Italian GQ52.
All right, very cool. Make sure you go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. You can also like Brando Cash Entertainment, facebook.com/BrandoCash. Go to BrandoCash.com, get information about this show, all the other shows that we put out from Brando Cash Entertainment, videos, photos, podcasts, a little bit of everything for you guys out there. Hey, it's Ravens Steelers once again. Of course, you guys got plenty to say, and you got to show your Ravens pride. Best way to do that is to share this show on the web. You know, deck your Facebook page out in purple, share this episode and tell people, get ready for Ravens Steelers this week. These guys know what they're talking about. This is how I'm prepping. You guys should listen too. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web. Let people know, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I think we're going far in the playoffs. I listen to The Call for free and you should too. And they're available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Let all those guys that feed us out there, let let them know that you enjoy listening to The Call. So give us an iTunes review. Review us on Stitcher. Tell the Baltimore Sports Report. They're on Twitter and Facebook as well. How much you dig The Call. Anything you can do to help us grow even bigger than we have this season already would be, we'll be eternally grateful to everybody out there. Everybody, enjoy a happy new year. I hope you guys watch the Winter Classic from the Capitals. Next week on What the Puck, we'll be reviewing the Winter Classic. Coach Dan will be back from his vacation. So we'll be talking Caps hockey on What the Puck. Subscribe on all the stuff that The Call's on, What the Puck is on as well. But here we go. After the Capitals beat the Blackhawks on Thursday, Saturday night, we got Ravens-Steelers postseason football. Josh, get us ready for it, man. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much, sir. It's been a great season, and we kind of semi-closed it out last week, but here we are, calling and podcasting once again, my friend, man. Playoffs, man, it was just so great to say the P word for the 6th out of 7th time under the Flacco Harbaugh era. I love it. Happy Festivus Maximus to all in Purple Ravens Nation. And how about this, Brandon? I don't know if you heard about this before we close the show. I didn't get to do it because I had some things to do this morning. But did you hear about this? I'm curious. Anybody out there is listening to the show, if you know anybody who's done this morning, please tweet me. I'd love to see a picture. But, Brandon, I don't know if you saw on my Facebook. I posted how Ravens celebrate Purple Festivus Maximus and painting the town purple. You know, this morning from at the stadium from 6 to 10 a.m., they were painting cars purple with purple spray stuff.
I saw that, yeah. The big Ravens logo on your back windshield. Everybody getting ready for Ravens football. You know, they also have 100 purple flamingos scattered around the city with potentially tickets for the playoffs as well.
I did not know that. That's something new. Wow, I love this town.
Oh, yeah. You got,
I love this town.
Check out BaltimoreRavens.com. They're doing stuff all week. There's going to be a purple caravan on Friday. They're doing parties as well throughout the city throughout this week. So check that out. There's plenty going on with you know, Poe and the cheerleaders and the playmakers and everything else.
Well, since I have a double duty, everybody, on Friday for Purple Friday, but I am off on Saturday, and I will be trucking to Pittsburgh, and hopefully I'll be able to see a face out there. If anybody that tuned into the show, if you are in a trucking to Pittsburgh, please hit me up. I don't know what section I'm sitting in, but I'll be tweeting it out there, and I really can't wait to get it popping. Here it is, man, playoffs once again. Hopefully we'll be covering it going to New England next week, but here it is. Ravens-Steelers, hate week number 3. Third time's always the best. Third time's always the darn. We split during the regular season. We know how it is. It's a rough and tumble fight. And what better night to do it than Saturday night? You know, we got John Bones Jones fighting for another, defending his title against Cormier in the UFC. We all know Jones is the brother of the former Raven, Arthur Jones, that plays now in the Indianapolis Colts. He plays on Sunday. So we all know about that tie, those ties for the Ravens faithful out there. But we're going to start with a big heavyweight fight Saturday night, 8:15, Heinz Field, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Whip silence those yellow twirlers or whatever you call them, the rest, and they can just sit on those tails. Why not? Because I think we're going to come out with fire, and we're going to come out with passion. We're going to show them that we mean business, and the purple passion is here. No more slow starts. We're going to come out and show the Steelers that, hey, we got in the playoffs too. Hey, you might want our division. You might want the division, man. But what it comes down to is we're all 0-0, and we're going to heavyweight fight. With that being said, Brendan, I got to bring up one more point before I close the show. You ready for it?
All right, here we go.
I got to give kudos to AFC North. How about this? We have 12 teams, 6 AFC teams, and 3 of them are from the AFC North. I do have to get a round of applause. And kudos to our division for doing that, man. That's unprecedented. That shows you how tough the AFC North is, and we're in the best division of football. How's that sound?
Hey, man, that's the way we like it around here. Got to prove yourself against the best.
Yes, and we got 3 of the best teams in the playoffs, and Bengals, Ravens, Steelers, but we know the Ravens are the best, and we're going to show them on Saturday night. 6 seed, it doesn't matter what seed we are, because we're coming for it, and we're in the dance, man. We're in the dance for running for a 3rd world championship for the city. So let's go. Let's root hard. Playoffs. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high out of Pittsburgh with the playoff win.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.